This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. And let's see if we can get the engine going here on Friday. A stalled, poorly maintained car as a metaphor for this country's crumbling infrastructure. Hold on to that thought. We'll return to it shortly. Also this hour, the test of the criminal justice system in South Africa as that nation confronts the trial of the century circus that is surrounding the case of Olympic athlete and accused murderer Oscar Pistorius. The violence in Syria closes in on Damascus, and we'll also give you a full download for the upcoming Oscars from our own Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman. The movie date has a big weekend coming up. But first, the movie Wreck-It Ralph might be a good way of describing the way America has treated its roads, bridges, and other infrastructure over the past two generations.
Fix it! I can fix it!
Many of you decided to play with us when we asked, what's falling apart where you are? What's wrecked? Listener from Detroit wrote, I live in Detroit. The entire city is in desperate need of repair.
Simon from Brooklyn. The BQE. It's been under construction for 8+ years now. I don't even know. Are they getting paid by the hour?
Thank you, Simon. And from Orlando, Florida, there's an off-ramp from 287 where traffic piles up and cars have to slam on the brakes in order to avoid collisions because of a stoplight you can't turn from. The Wreck-It Ralph reports from around the country. Keep them coming. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Fix It
Felix might be a good name for President Obama these days, who wants the government to, quote, fix it first.
I propose a Fix It First program to put people to work as soon as possible on our most urgent repairs, like the nearly 70,000 structurally deficient bridges across the country.
He's nice enough, as good guys go. Definitely fixes stuff really well. But if you've got a magic hammer from your father, how hard can it be?
Well, the president does not have a magic hammer of any kind in the real world. All he's got is the bully pulpit, his recent State of the Union address, a plea to stop building new stuff in the United States until we get around to fixing what we have.
Today, I am announcing a new plan for rebuilding and modernizing America's roads and rails and runways for the long term. I want America to have the best infrastructure in the world.
Do something, Felix!
Just act natural. I'll fix it.
It's a bigger problem than just one speech or one new initiative, or even the latest $40 billion the president wants to throw at the repair bill we already have around the country. Just like that clunker in the garage, you can hear it. We've put off maintenance for so long, we may be stalled with a much worse fix-it job than if we'd just taken care of the problems all along. That's the central issue, according to our next guest. Adi Tomer, he's an associate fellow at the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So it seems to me that from your perspective, a kind of Washington piecemeal approach to infrastructure every couple of years is exactly the wrong way to go about maintaining America's infrastructure. Yes?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Everything from the ideal situation of folks on Capitol Hill to other parties here in D.C., but especially at the state level, those who are actually building our highways and transit systems, they want some certainty in their funding structure, understanding what the rules of the game are with regards to regulation. And having these piecemeal structures really haven't helped business for them, really for the past few years since the last major reauthorization expired. We do have a 2-year bill right now, which is better than some of the stopgaps, but really that doesn't kind of provide that long-term certainty that they're looking for in major construction projects.
And, you know, everybody who has a car understands what scheduled maintenance is all about. When you're talking about infrastructure, if you don't follow a schedule, planning, you know, 5-10 years in the future on maintenance, you get behind and then you can never catch up, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the car analogy is perfect. Maintaining any kind of capital, whether it be kind of movement related, right, like your car to a highway, you need to kind of have that regular form of maintenance. And frankly, federal policy for quite a long time has been based around this idea, really since the Eisenhower era of the interstate system build out, to just build more. We need to connect more areas with limited access highways. We need more roadway. We need more lane mileage. And while there's still certainly a argument that we need more, especially lane miles in certain areas, maybe better intersections, for the most part, what we're starting to see, especially on the bridge side, is that there are long-term maintenance costs that we've maybe not ignored is the right word, but haven't prioritized in the same way. way. And that's a big part of the president's plan that's coming forward. And frankly, folks are saying it on both sides of the aisle, this kind of quote-unquote fix-it-first approach to our infrastructure.
Although I'm just wondering what the sort of political momentum is here, because I've been in the news business for a long time. I've never in my entire career seen a picture of a ribbon-cutting ceremony for some maintenance project. It's always building something new. Nobody wants to be taking credit for some maintenance project, which means that this program may just get lost in the Congress.
Yeah, I think the president made that kind of joke about cutting ribbons, and I think he was referencing newer projects in the State of the Union. So I think you hit the nail on the head. There already seems to be a little bit of a disagreement ideologically from the new chairman of the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee, Chairman Schuster from Pennsylvania, and the president. But there's a lot that we can find that's good here in the sense that both parties, whether it be through the president or the chairman in this instance, are agreeing that we need to invest more in infrastructure. That kind of public conversation is really good for the environment. With regards to expanding investment in the long run. The question is, how can these parties come together to determine what's best in terms of things like maintenance, which might not be as, quote-unquote, attractive, as kind of you alluded to other also long-term new projects that do seem to garner more kind of public applause, if you will, but, you know, still have to be balanced out again with those kind of long-term maintenance needs that we have across the country and across modes, not just highways, but also rail, transit. Obviously, that's acute in the New York City area right now. And even to our, you know, water infrastructure just along the Mississippi River. We've been hearing about it all summer.
Well, I want to ask you about some specific programs, specific projects in this latest initiative that people might see if it gets going around the country. And then I've got a really scary question for the Brookings Institution analyst here. First of all, what are people going to see around the country? What's new that's shovel ready in this program?
One of the things we really like, we've kind of divvied it up into three parts here, is that we really like the Project Accelerator. Right in the New York City, the broader metro area, the Tappan Zee Bridge is a good example. Figuring out how we can accelerate these major big projects that have essentially already been signed off on but still need certain reviews, let's say environmental alongside other cost-based estimates. How can we accelerate all that so we can get shovels in the ground sooner but still maintain our environmental protections and other regulations we've had on the books for really decades? And hopefully for listeners in certain markets, they'll see actually some of these mega projects start moving faster. Some elements of the proposal, really, it's still up in the air. We're not sure what's going to happen, frankly, because so much of it has to do with, as much as the executive branch and the president might have statements on this issue, Congress needs to still pass legislation.
Right.
So that goes for everything from, let's say, the Fix It First policy. You know, they're talking about $40 billion more. The executive branch just doesn't have that money lying around. Again, Chairman Schuster is going to need to be involved in that process. The other $10 billion for a national infrastructure bank. We still have questions about exactly where that's going to be placed. In the past, they've said it would be within DOT, the Department of Transportation. Other times, they've said it would be wholly independent, a la and akin to, let's say, the Federal Reserve. And then also questions about these America Fast Forward bonds. We're not sure how those might relate to municipal bonds moving forward.
You mentioned the Tappan Zee Bridge there. Any other bridges and tunnels and roadways that might be beneficiaries of this latest initiative?
Yeah, well, if they end up passing some kind of legislation that allows this $40 billion to be released, I think the honest answer is that everyone's going to see something. You know, we have over 70,000 structurally deficient bridges in the country, and that stretches all the way from bridges that are frankly a little bit unsafe to ones that are just kind of nearing the end of their useful life but are still totally safe to drive over. So really, it's going to be everywhere if this happens. It'll be really similar to what we saw after the Stimulus Act, where those big orange diamond signs were everything of, you know, the stimulus at work and big green signs with, you know, a Tiger logo in the bottom. Everyone's going to see those across the country. And that's what one would expect for $40 billion. It's a huge amount of money.
So, Adi Tomer, let me ask you the scary question now. Maybe the way out of this is for you and your colleagues to write a report bringing back earmarks and pork, only make it all about repairs, that if you could do sort of district by district kind of quid pro quo horse trading on maintenance projects, you'd have a chance of keeping the infrastructure, in good shape. Bring back the pork, just call it maintenance.
Well, I think irrespective of what we think about earmarks, I don't know if the American public has an appetite for it, and I think Congress has kind of switched their tune a little bit. And, of course, the transportation bill was the ground zero for earmarks, over the past few decades, and of course, epitomized the bridge to nowhere in Alaska. So we're not sure if that's going to be coming back. What we do know is that by almost any measure, you can put a grade on it if you want, but American infrastructure needs a massive amount of investment. It needs both maintenance as well as new investments. We need to make sure we're smart about it. We need to make sure that we can tap into private financial markets to help us get that done so it doesn't all fall on the back of public taxpayers, and then make sure that we do it in a smart and organized manner in thinking about our economic future.
Adi Tomer, Associate Fellow of the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And just as Adi was saying, people all over the country are waiting. This listener from South Florida, literally every major highway has been under construction since the late 90s, even all our major airports. I'll just like to see these repair projects done.
You cannot go very far in Pittsburgh without crossing one of our 446 bridges. The 2011 study by Transportation for America rated 30 of Pittsburgh's bridges as deficient, the highest in the nation. This is Don Maloney from Pittsburgh.
Keep your stories coming at thetakeaway.org or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.